Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Today is Wednesday, December 1st. It's the first night of Hanukkah. So we want to wish everyone out there who is celebrating the first evening of Hanukkah a happy Hanukkah, the festival of lights, if you will. My partner's missing. I don't know how else to say it. He's missing. I don't know what happened to him. I didn't speak to him earlier. I talked to him last night. Hopefully all is well, and he'll be along shortly. Maybe he's having computer issues or something. Hopefully he'll be along shortly. But good evening again, everyone. The number to call in if you guys want to get in, 646-478-4692. We got a lot to talk about tonight. We'll take phone calls in just a few minutes. Hopefully Eddie will be one of them. I guess we'll start off with recapping the big viewing party on Friday night at the Poitin Still in Hackensack. And what a fantastic night it was. Got there at about 4 o'clock, and some of you were already there, which was great. And we had a good time sitting around. It was great to finally meet you guys. Frosty was there. Paul was there with his son. Eve and Claude were there. Costa was there. Adam from Chicago was there, and we just had a great time. Ron Greshner and Nick Fatiu and Chris Katsopoulos were there. They signed autographs for everybody. Everybody got to take pictures with them. Fatiu and Gresh cut out a little early, but Katsi stayed the whole night with us. And from talking to him on Paulie's show and just email correspondence between us, and I knew he was a good guy and a lot of fun to talk to. But what a great guy he is to meet in person. I mean, he was nice. Sat and talked with my family for a while. He was playing with my daughter, and she was having fun with him. And so I was going to call into Paulie's show last night just to thank him, but Paulie and Katsi were rolling on some topics, so I didn't want to interrupt. But Katsi, if you are listening tonight, again, thank you for showing up on Friday night, and everybody had a great time, and we really appreciate it. It was a lot of fun. I wish I'd had more time to sit and talk to you guys, but the night goes so quick. It felt like my wedding reception. You know, everybody, you're trying to talk to everybody, and there just never seems to be enough time. And yes, Katsi, Claude just said, Katsi has a vice grip handshake. Even my wife said that when she said his hands are massive. he was a big guy. Well, he still is a big guy. But we had a lot of fun with Katsi talking and drinking and just we're talking about. And he knows a lot of, you know, he's not just hockey. We had a very long conversation about football. He was talking about, we were arguing over Eli Manning and talking about the Giants and the Jets and his 49ers who won a big game out here in the desert the other night. So it was a lot of fun. We had a great time. I've put a lot of the pictures up on Facebook. Haven't looked at the video yet that I shot. So I haven't had a chance to upload that. Hopefully within the next couple of days, I'll sit and be able to take a look at it and see if I have to cut it up to fit it somewhere on the internet so that you guys can take a look at it. It went so fast. It was over in a blink of an eye. It really was. I mean, we had some technical difficulties at the beginning of the show. Eddie was trying to use my wife's computer, and we were trying to get that set up and get his headset working. And by the time we were able to do that, then he got on the air, and then we had some. It was just a few other little audio problems, and just trying to get it all worked out in the bar there, but. And once we got going, it was, you know, everybody was having a good time. And Eddie was out working the crowd with the microphone on the PA system at the bar. And it was a lot of fun. So we had a good time. We actually ended the show early the other night. I ended the show about 10 minutes early because I just wanted to go have fun with everybody else. And It was hard to really get into things and talk to people on the phone because and everybody was there at the bar anyway, so we couldn't really interact with callers like we normally do. So we just called the show about 10 minutes early and went out and had fun with everybody else. And Dancing Larry showed up, which was really nice. It was great to get to talk to him again. I had met him years and years ago. I don't even think he was Dancing Larry when I met him, but we had a nice conversation and it was fun. And Ricky played his theme music on the jukebox, and after a little cajoling, Larry got out and danced and did his thing, and then he was done. And then my daughter went up and did her Dancing Larry impersonation and was dancing around. So it was fun. We had a great time. And again, it was great to meet all of you finally after so long. So hope you enjoyed it, and we'll do it again next year. And hopefully you'll all come out again, and we'll have a good time. So I still don't know where my partner is. Zach's on hold, so we'll bring Zach right on. Zach, good evening. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Jim. How's it going?
All right. You're a little muffled there.
Hang on a second.
Mm-hmm. I got all night, brother.
Speaker.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Have you seen Eddie? Hello? Zach? I lost Zach. Oh, we're off to a fly-in start. Zach, where are you, buddy? Are you still there?
I'm still here. Can you hear me?
There you are. I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, I couldn't hear you. Have you seen Eddie?
No, I haven't. I just got home a little while ago.
Oh, okay. Well, we're putting the word out. If anybody's seen Eddie, tell them to call in.
We could put him on the milk cartons. Maybe we'll find him that way.
We might have to. We'll put him on an Entenmann's carton. I think he'd appreciate that more. Put him on a box of the Frosted Donuts or a pizza box. They might even like that better. He's a pizza connoisseur like I am. So anyway, Zach, it was, and I'm sure I'm going to say this a few hundred times tonight to everybody who calls in, but it was a pleasure to meet you Friday night.
Likewise.
Your pictures were great. Did you get a chance? And let me just put this out there to everybody. If you haven't seen them yet, if you haven't seen the slideshow that Mario put up on Facebook, make sure you do that. If you're not a friend of his on Facebook, you got to friend him. Mario Morgado, Morgado, and go look at the slideshow he put up from Friday night. It's fantastic. I mean, his photography is just excellent. I don't know how else to say it. It's all in black and white, but he's really
a professional.
He's a professional, and just great pictures. Really nicely done. He had a great picture in there of my daughter and just everybody that was there and the players, and there was some great pictures of Eddie and I doing the show, so if you get a chance, make sure you take a look at it. So anyway, Zach, what else is going on tonight?
A lot of pictures. Oh, let's see, what else is going on? The group is actually, the people in the listening is going to get a kick out of this, and I told you this briefly, but last night at the NHL store, there was a small function being hosted by Charles Wang. I guess he had some associates or investors or something like that, but I know that Kyle Okpozo and Mark Streit were in attendance, and so was the Stanley Cup.
What was the Stanley Cup doing there? It must have been awful tarnished. I mean, it was it was 27 years ago that they won that thing.
I think Charles Wang just wanted to get a quick glimpse of it because he knows he's not going to see it again.
Well, they're gonna love that Stanley Cup in Kansas City. So did you have to work the store?
No,
while this
I wasn't
was going
working
on?
That day.
Oh,
no,
okay.
I only work Mondays, Fridays, and Saturdays, so I didn't know about the event until I saw my coworkers posting pictures of them posing with the cup.
You have to get a hold of some of those pictures.
Yeah, I'll superimpose my face on there.
No, I just want to see pictures of Shanghai Charlie Wang with the cup, and you know, then we get and then maybe he'll call in and tell us about it.
Maybe. Although what I didn't,
he is listening. We know that.
But I did not tell you though was the night that we had the Rangers event at the NHL store, and I was helping move things around. I'm carrying a couple of heavy trunks, and I'm wondering what's in there. And I'm thinking it's probably just, you know, some Rangers merchandise that we have to put on the floor. And then as soon as I put the case down, I looked at the side, read Norris Trophy and Vezina Trophy.
Really?
I got pretty close to that.
So they just ship those trophies in a box?
In the trunks, yeah.
Oh, okay, in trunks. Oh, okay. Like they do with the cardboard boxes?
No.
You know, with the NHL, it wouldn't surprise me.
No, they take.
It wouldn't surprise me if they stuffed it in a priority envelope and tried to ship it.
No, with those trophies, they take good care of it. It's just some of the players that they give it to don't exactly deserve it, but whatever.
Now, do the trophies have handlers like the cup? Well, I can never think of the guy's Phil something, the guy who's the caretaker of the cup.
I don't know their name. Well, I think only the cup they have the special handlers. Everybody else is just, it's just in the trunks. That's all.
Oh, okay. So did you actually get to see the trophies, or you just saw them in the trunk, or what?
I just saw them in the trunk. I didn't get to see them up close or touch them or anything. In fact, I never noticed them take it out to put on display. I mean, I was all over the store, but I never saw them out of the trunks.
Oh, okay. The man's name is Phil Pritchard. I was looking for it. Googled it, and it's Phil Pritchard is the man. Mandar, Jackie's not banned. Just so she's not in the shot. She showed up Friday night, and all is well. Her and I, everything's fine.
And the three of us are friends on Facebook again.
And yes, we are. And she said to me at the end of the night, she came up, she gave me a big hug, and she whispered in my ear, she says, you're a pain in my ass. And I said, yeah, I am, but you love me. And she said, yes, I do. And then she sent me a nice, she sent me a nice message on Facebook, and it was good. Jackie's fine. I was more just busting her balls. I never, she was never banned. She wanted to stay away for a couple of weeks,
She did the same thing to me on Friday. She came up to me and just called me a pain in the ass, but she still loves me. And she sent me a message on Facebook as well. So, She still hates the Girardi. She still loves the Blackhawks. So I guess we got to deal with that.
And then I'm trying to remember back to Friday night. Didn't Girardi score a goal Friday night against the Panthers when we were all there?
I think he had an assist.
Which game did he just score a goal in? Was it the Florida game?
No, I don't even remember. I know he scored in like the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, just the last week or so. I don't know. Oh no, you know what? I think he scored. I think he scored the night Eddie and I went to the game against the Flames. I think that's what it was.
I remember he scored right off the faceoff that Stepan won.
Yeah, I think that was the Florida game. All right, Zach, hang on for a second. I have a Skype call that may or may not be my partner. Skype call, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Hello? Skype caller? Are you there?
I don't hear anything.
I don't hear anything either. I don't know. Well, Skype caller, if you're there... No, maybe not.
Oh, well.
All right. Well, try again. I'll bet that's Eddie. Maybe he has his microphone muted or something. But anyway.
Probably.
Why don't you, I guess we're going to get into it at some point. Why don't you give me your thoughts on what went on in the Pittsburgh game the other night?
Alrighty. Well, I have to say that I was at the NHL store watching the game. And several times I had to stop to watch the TV, and when Pittsburgh scored the first goal, and when Crosby did his flue foot, and we'll get into that, I paused. Fortunately, I didn't have anything in my hand, but I did run over to the hats, picked up a Ranger hat, put it on my head, just immediately ripped it off, and threw it on the floor, screaming at the TV. Fortunately, there were no customers at the store at the time, and one of the managers was laughing at me because he thought it was quite humor seeing me get all angry. But he came up to me and said, "Zach, I understand you're upset right now, but you got to get back to work, and you can't make a mess."
All right, hold on. I think we might have that. Let me see. Skype call. Eddie, is that you?
I have arrived.
Oh, you are reasonably late. Fashionably late. Good evening, sir. Welcome to Blue Shirt Banner Radio. My partner, how are you?
I was stuck in traffic doing Christmas shopping.
Look at you out on December 1st doing your shopping. I'm impressed.
Well, you know, I've got a lot of people to shop for this year. I hear you and Zach doing the show, keeping the port down. Zach doing a wonderful job. And
I was about to go into one of your rants until you came in.
Which one?
The flu foot.
Oh, God. Have you discussed that yet?
We were just starting to get into it, and you know, I'm a little because I'm a little off now because you and I didn't get to talk like we usually do for a few minutes before the show, so I didn't know how you wanted to. I know you said you had a couple of rants, and I didn't know which direction you were going in, so I just kind of wanted to. Yeah, but now that you're here, you know, we could certainly. I'll just have at it.
Well, I set some clips up on the audio there. I think one of them is called Crosby Slewfoot.
Yeah, I see them both
maybe,
here.
Okay. Let's hear what Brandon Dubinsky has to say about Sydney's little chicanery.
All right, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Dubinsky.
We're going to show you a play that resulted in the whistle against Ryan Callahan. Get a good look at it and tell us what you think. I mean, it's pretty obvious here to us that it's a slew foot on number 87. Right?
Yeah, I mean, that's just a dirty play. You know, that's the type of guy he is, away from when he gets tries to get away with all that kind of nonsense and complains a lot. But, you know, we just got to fight through it and, you know, just keep playing him hard and keep going.
Now, in that muffled audio that I supplied, not Jim's fault, he said it was a dirty play. He said it was nonsense. And it was. Now, you know, it wasn't a slew foot probably in the most technical sense. It was more of a kick. But it was a dirty play. And, again, there was no penalty against Sydney or Cindy in this case. At all, but against Callahan there was a penalty. Now, what are these guys watching? What game are they watching? Now, is this the star system in its biggest example, or do these referees just don't see the game? I mean, what do you guys think? Do you think this is just a case of it's Sidney Crosby, he's a star, he is going to get away with murder? I mean, how do you guys feel about that?
I think the refs are watching Disney on Ice. That's what I think. But in all seriousness, I cannot believe he got away with that. And it's just the NHL is trying to crack down on dirty plays, on nasty hits and all that stuff. And Sidney Crosby does that. And, yes, it wasn't called on the ice. It was the young ref who was in the back called it interference, and he had a better look at it than the ref at the other end. And I looked on the NHL website. I looked at the rules. They said slew footing, you know, hands down, is illegal. And it, even if it is not called on the ice, a penalty, it is subject to a suspension and or a fine. Now, if it was called on the ice, it's considered to be a match penalty, which is an automatic game misconduct. So it's mind-boggling that Crosby gets away with this. Mind-boggling. And you know, it's more than just the slew foot. You see him, was it last season? I guess it was against Florida. They were down 5-2, and right off the face-off, he drops his gloves and starts pounding the Panthers player. Any other player in the league does that. I mean, you know, Crosby did get the minor for instigating, the major for fighting, and the game misconduct. But everybody, the NHL website say, what a fantastic job Crosby doing to wake his team up this way when they're already down. Any other player does that, the same exact situation, the same exact time of the game, they will get suspended and or fined. It is absolutely disgusting that Crosby's getting away with stuff like this. Absolutely disgusting. And Ovechkin did the same thing, and he got fined for $2,500.
Now, Mandar says in the chat room, too much is being made of the slew foot.
so much of being made of proof, but because
everything
he's getting away with it.
Everything ain't right in Mandar's world. Mandar complains about everything. So what else do you expect? Too much is being made of the Slewfoot. You're talking about the second game between two rivals. The first game they played together was probably the best game of the season when the Rangers won in overtime. You're playing Crosby again. This is a continuing story between Dubinsky and Crosby. Play the second clip, which says, I think it's Dubinsky something. This
yep,
is
I
what
got it.
Dubinsky called Crosby last year.
Jerry, what was the deal between you and Sidney Crosby? I know it started with a stick or two, and we're taking a look at it now.
Oh, he just gives a little whack. You know, he's such a little baby sometimes. And, you know, it's the end of the period. I'm just, you know, I was just minding my own business. You know, I don't know if he's frustrated or what's going on, but, you know, whatever.
I like the fact, you know, I like the fact that, that Brandon Dubinsky has all these little personal wars with players around the league, you know?
I mean, really? I mean, Dubinsky sees this. This isn't us making a big deal of it. You got a guy who's going up against him, you know, and we would see it. Come on. There's a star system, and this is the root of the nonsense that this league, you know, I don't want to make this a whole league show, but one of the reasons this league is not taken seriously is because of things like this. What sport do you see preferential treatment on a game-by-game basis for star players? Yes, there are rules to keep guys to, you know, protect quarterbacks in football. But where do you see a guy game after game get away with? And another thing that bothers me most about Crosby, and I think when he came into the league, Jim and Zach, he had this sense of entitlement for the calls. And when you're a rookie, you got to make your bones in this league, and you got to play a while before you get. But he was complaining right out of the gate, and he hasn't stopped since. And it is what it is. I hate to say that, but that's what's going to happen. Now,
well,
did it affect that game? Go ahead.
Well, I just want to say he's had the sense of entitlement since he came into the league because the league branded him as the next one, first of all. And second of all, and we've said this 100 times on the show, he learned from the best. The minute he was drafted, he moved in with Mario Lemieux. There was no one better than Mario Lemieux at chasing down referees, crying and complaining for game in, game out. He learned from the best, to his credit. Right?
Well,
Mandar's complaining.
There. I mean, I will say that Mario probably, you know, Mario was a big-time diver, too. I mean, it looks like he was shot when David Shaw hit him. And it was just like, you know. It's just annoying. And, again, it didn't really affect the game because, once again, you know, the Rangers cannot generate shots on net. And that's something I wanted to talk about. And I'm not sure we could complain about Cindy, but, you know, when you can't get quality shots on net, or when you're shooting, you're missing so many opportunities. I know Zach's favorite, Michael Delzato, missed the net quite a number of times. Brian Boyle shot.
Boyle, he was in front of the net and he missed the net.
Not just the net, Zach. He shot it into the netting above the glass.
Yeah,
I
saw that.
It was horrible. Well, I know that Brian Boyle is he's surprising us, but, you know, we know he's not been a goal scorer in the past, but you got to get something done there. I mean,
yeah,
it's just
embarrassing.
Eddie, like I said to you, I got home Monday night from my trip, just in time to see the last 5 or 6 minutes of the game, and I must have heard the words, Delzato misses the net 4 times.
Right. I mean, you know, listen, we can get all sidetracked on the Crosby thing, but here's a stat for you. In the month of November, the Rangers played 15 games. And in those 15 games, they only got 30-plus shots 3 times.
We played 16
they
games.
They have to... What?
16
games, not 15. Though.
Yeah, because they went 9-7.
All right. So they had 16 games. They only had 30 shots 3 times. You got, and I know that Gaborik was around for a few of those games in November, but they've got to generate more shots in order to win. And finally, it seems that Frolov got benched in the last game. But I guess my the rant that really and I really want to go off on is maybe there is now we've been could we agree that with Tortorella we have been friends of John Tortorella this year? I think we've lauded him and but now I'm starting to get cheesed off again with the hypocrisy. With the some of his thoughts and his credos, as far as him saying that well, you will earn ice time on this team, it goes by how you're playing, and I feel that a couple players are being not getting the fair chance, and I think the first guy is the Russian redheaded stepchild in Tortorella is Artemon Isimov. The guy has gone from the first line to the fourth line, and he, by no fault of his own, other than Gaborik came back, so he's got to play with Christian and Stepan. Now, I don't understand it. The guy was playing well, and now he's playing with Todd White and whatever the other schmendrick they throw him with on the fourth line.
Usually
Avery. It doesn't make sense. Avery, and Sam Rosen is sitting there the other night saying, well, the Rangers feel his play's dipped. You know why it's dipped? Because in the first period of the Pittsburgh game, he played 2 minutes and 29 seconds or whatever he did. This kid needs to play. If you're going to say we're going to play the young guys, sit that bum Erik Christensen. He's a bum. I don't want him on the team. I'm sick of his confidence problems. He's, you know, save him for shootouts. If we have a special shootout roster, we can keep him on. Other than that, boom. All
then they right? can pick. Then they can pick Pruka back up too.
Oh, he's another bum. He's another bum. And now, second thing. Where was I? I was on the first thing. All right. The second thing. Yeah, I'm all confused here now. You threw me off with the Pruka thing. Yes,
sorry.
That's for nothing. Todd Betty White. What is he doing on this team? He's horrible. I feel like this. I feel like they've invested money in guys, and they have to play them. Todd White, what is he getting? 2.7? Almost $3 million, Jim? You guys know, like $3 million, I think. Roll off another guy. 26 games, he's finally getting the, you know, right? Whatever he can. Why is it Matt Zuccarello been brought up? What is the fascination? They need some jump. They need shots on goal. Yeah, I know people want to see Zuccarello get, you know, get ice time down in or Connecticut, whatever they call him this week. But you know what? Just bring him up for a few games. You know, to get that jump to get something going. And
Eddie, I agree with you, but the problem is it's not easy to bring him up because they have to clear waivers, the re-entry waivers to get back in. The same thing with Kennedy. And if they go through that process, there's a great chance that another team is going to pick one,
now,
if not both of them.
I know Kennedy has some problems with waivers, but Matt Zuccarello has problems. You can't just bring. I watched the Minnesota Wild. Watch that NHL Network on the bottom. They're bringing up guys every week. 15 guys. Exchange. Well, Wild, send down. Wild, bring up Casey Wellman. Wild, well, we can't do it. Someone check into that Zuccarello, because I don't believe that malarkey, that we can't be bringing guys up. And nobody sits on this team. If you're playing, if you're not good, now I know the Rangers are playing well and above our expectations, but I am just annoyed the accountability seems to, with certain players, does not seem to hold water. I just think it's a little bit of the same old, with as far as we've got guys with contracts and they have to play. You know, Frolov deserves a night off up on the bench, up in the skybox. There are certain guys, even some of the defensemen, when Delzato struggled, take a night off. I saw Ottawa did it with Eric Karlsson, another guy that's very similar to Michael Delzato. The guy was sticking the joint up. They put him up. They benched him. He comes back. He learns his lesson. I don't understand where a taskmaster like John Tortorella doesn't like to bench. You know how many games it took him to bench Redden last year? And we had to wait 40 games? When every Ranger fan and his grandmother know that guy stunk? I mean, I'm not saying, you know, I don't be a reactionary and say that, you know, but come on. Todd White, it might as well, Betty White is a better hockey player than Todd White and more physical.
Frosty, he just made his John Sim reference.
Oh. Eric, I've had enough with him. Eloquence, goodbye. Confidence problems, everything. Get out.
Yeah, well, anyway, we're stuck with what we've got, unfortunately.
Why? We can't bring one. Somebody look this up. Zach is claiming Matt Zuccarello cannot be brought up. Oh, if he's sent down, somebody's going
to. He can be
called. I remembered just before the season began, he was placed on waivers.
No. He wasn't placed on waivers. He can come up.
I remember seeing him placed on waivers. If I'm wrong, then I do apologize, but that's what I remember seeing.
No, they can call him up. Kennedy, if they call him up, they could lose him on reentry waivers.
Yeah, that I know for a fact.
But I don't think, maybe because of, I don't know, but they could call Lawson up without losing him.
Hopefully.
So I'm just saying that you need to change things up. And listen, they lost to a tough Pittsburgh team. That Pittsburgh team is hot. You know, they gave up the goals. They're down 3-0, 3-1, and did Torts really pulled up? He pulled that goalie really early in that game. He pulled Henrik with like 2 minutes left in the game.
Yeah,
that was quite surprising. I was
so
really
surprising
worried
if Florida
that
did that with 3 minutes left.
Yeah, down by three,
wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's Florida. That's Florida for you.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to talk. I really feel like autumn, for some reason, gets the shorter. I mean, you know, you talk about this process of, you know, guys, you got to wait your turn. And, you know, I love Derek Stepan, but you know what? I really think that we've discussed this before. It took so much for autumn to get to that first line position. And, you know, but for some reason, for Derek Stepan. And listen, Derek has got a lot of, he has better vision than Artie does at this point in his career. And I feel like he got, Derek, first, you want to play on the first line, you're there. And I feel like there should be, and this is kind of old school, where you have to play, even if you're better than perhaps in some facets, you should wait your turn. But the Rangers seem like they're caught in the middle. They're desperate to compete, and they're also trying to build. So it's a hard thing to do. But I'd rather see – I don't think it's going to make that much difference in the end whether they have Derek Stepan playing with Gaborik or Artem Anisimov playing with Gaborik. Maybe I'm making a mountain out of a molehill because I'm an Artem fan. But to see him on the fourth line, to me, can only regress this guy's progress and then to advance it. So that's my only beef. And when I see guys like Erik Christensen standing in the way of a development of a young player, it just galls me. So, I mean, that's what I wanted to. One of the rants I had loaded up for you guys.
All right. Well, listen, Zach, I appreciate you keeping me company the first few minutes, and I'm going to let you go. Are you going to stay in the chat room with us, or do you need to stay on hold?
I'll stay in the chat room. I was actually surprised you took me in early, because I'm used to hearing Newman's voice first.
Yeah, he hasn't called in yet. I believe the holiday is keeping him away.
Yeah, that's right. It's the first night of Hanukkah.
All right, Zach, thanks, man. We'll talk to you later.
Yep, and happy Hanukkah, guys.
All right, you too. Thanks.
Bye.
Take care.
All right. So I had opened the show by talking about the party on Friday night and what a great time we had. So why don't you give us your thoughts on Friday night?
Yeah. All right. The Friday night party. Well,
yeah.
First of all, it was so awesome to see everybody there and the fact that everybody showed up there, it was so, I really have to say, just a great bunch of people. Everybody was there, was loose, ready to laugh, ready to drink, ready to eat. I mean, all my favorite things. It was like the mouse favorite thing. Like, oh, bro.
These are a few of your favorite things.
Exactly. We had food, we had rangers, we had ex-rangers, we had the whole kit and caboodle. I mean, friends. I have to say, some of these people are absolutely out of their minds, but in a good way. I loved meeting Frosty and his wife were awesome. I think they stole the show from me. Just everybody. The girls with their poem were great. And, you know, everybody. I met a couple guys from outside the garden were there. And we had Adam from Chicago who flew in. And he was great to talk to. And it just was a great time. And Ricky O, I got to give my props. Ricky really... Yeah, really was right on with his place. It was awesome, and Ricky set most of it up. All of, you know, I speaking for myself, all I did was show up, which is great, and then do my shtick. And you were awesome to see you again, and you know, you were lauding me at the end, and I had a great time, and it was especially when you were lauding me, but. It was just a fantastic time for everybody, and I tell you, it was great. And my favorite part of the night was my dad had showed up, and I was talking to my dad, and the Rangers score, and I hear the goal song going on in the other room, and I'm just going, this is great. I mean, these guys are shouting at the top of their lungs. And everybody is fantastic, you know, Eva and Claude and their son, and just everybody. I mean, it just was great. I mean, and, you know, and I got to meet your wife and your daughter, Megan, and they were great. I couldn't find anything bad to say about it. And it was fantastic. I can't wait to do something again. So that was my thought about it.
Yeah, and I didn't mention it at the top of the show because Frosty wasn't here, but it was terrific to meet Frosty. Your wife is absolutely wonderful. She had some very nice things to say to me later in the evening, and it was wonderful meeting both of you It was an awesome night. It went too fast. I said at the top of the show, it was like my wedding reception, you know, where you're trying to talk to everybody and they're just you just run out of time. You know, there's so much going on and there just wasn't enough time. You know, we could have, you know, we might have to start next year at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, and it was, you know, that's a good way of putting it. You know, and it was people coming up to me and saying, "Oh, I'm so and so," and you finally put the face together with the screen name. And although I know for you that was more of a thing than me, because you know I've met a lot of these Looney Tunes before this, and you know, we just had a great time. You know, Coaster was there, and I always love seeing him. He's a lot of fun. B-23 Boot Paint. I haven't seen him in a while. There were a lot of hugs. We were, you know, it was great. And the Rangers win. So we're all 1-0. And we're not jinxing.
Yeah.
Really, frankly, if we would have lost, I would have considered you all jinxes and never gone to another party.
Yeah, I mean that was just the icing on the cake was that they won. I mean, we were having so much. It was it made for a great evening, and I can't say enough about it, how appreciative I am, and I know Eddie is about you guys all coming out. Mandar, let it go already, okay? I mean, really, let it go. Just enough. Jesus. It's like worse than a 12-year-old girl. Anyway. Complaining about complaining. All right, you want to take phone calls? What do you want to do? You want to talk about anything else to get to the phone calls?
Let me see. I got anything else? Dancing Larry was there.
Yeah, I talked about that at the beginning. Yeah, Dancing Larry was there. It was great to see him. It was fun. He was. I was glad he showed up.
Dancing Larry pulled me to study because, you know, Kotze looks like Kenny Powers.
Yeah, a couple of people said that to me. Kenny mother effing
really?
Powers. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, he is awesome. He is just a fantastic guy. You know, I was telling everybody, you know, top of the show, we had a nice long conversation with him, not just about hockey. He'll talk about football, you know, we talked about baseball. He'll talk about anything. You know, he's just, you know, he came over and sat with my family for a little while and was talking to my brothers, and we took some pictures. He was, you know, horsing around with my daughter. I mean, it was just, he's a very charming man. He really is. I don't know how else to put it without blowing too much of the sunshine up his butt.
And if you're looking for an argument, you want to pass some time and argue about anything, he's right there. I mean, he'll argue about the color of the sky. I love Kotze. He's fantastic, and his birthday was the next day, and it was great. So that's it. Let's take some calls. I'm ready.
All right. Let me get back to the switchboard here. Robbie, we missed you Friday night, buddy.
Yeah, I was going to ask you how was it, but it looks like you guys had a good time, so...
We had a great time.
Yeah, that's good. I wish I could have been there. Is there any near viewing parties in the future?
You know, not in the immediate future.
I know.
But well, where do you live, Robbie? You live in New Jersey, too, again?
I live in Ramsey. It's in Bergen County. But I used to live in Manhattan, so, like, the one train stop was from the Garden, so that's how I got into the Rangers. So,
and your Knicks, by the way.
Yes, yeah, them. There you go. Hey, all right. But let me start off with this one. We were talking about Crosby and everybody. I got to totally change it to this. Did you hear about what Howie Rose said on the air during the Islanders Thrashers game a few weeks ago?
Yeah, I was. You know, I'm glad you reminded me of that, Robbie, because there was something. I was making up the list of things that we wanted to talk about tonight, and I thought about it the other day, and I wanted to pull the audio of it because it's all over the place. So I thank you for reminding me of that.
No problem. I listened to it on YouTube. Now, let me tell you something. Just to show you how pathetic the Islanders, I know we play them Thursday and Friday, but just to show you how pathetic they are, they're so bad that they make you look forward to the Mets.
Yeah. Well, that was what I said. That was my comment on the whole thing. Was I said that, you know, Howie Rose, that's how bad the Islanders are. Is that Howie Rose thinks the Mets are going to provide him relief.
They make you look forward to the Mets. That's scary. At least the Rangers, we got some hope. I mean, I look forward to the Mets a little bit, but, you know, now it's, you know, hockey football season, so. But, I mean, it just, I feel, and that there's no way in hell that he's an Islanders fan. He's a big baseball with the Mets and the Jets, but there's no way. He announced the Rangers. Obviously, he's famous for the Matt Hill call. There's no way that he could possibly be an Islanders fan. Is he?
How can anybody be an Islanders fan?
Well, that's true. Yeah, we don't. Just the thing is, I don't know. I feel so bad for him because he just he must be ranked, obviously, with the call. He has to do play by play on MSG Plus on the TV for the Islanders, and he's a Rangers fan. He must be getting paid a ton of money. It's just
he's not getting paid a lot.
No, I don't think.
I'm just saying.
Nobody in that building's getting paid much.
Well, you get to call hockey games, get a reasonable paycheck, you know. I mean, you know, that's pretty cool in itself.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
you're right.
Hockey, go on, sorry.
No, I was going to say, I mean, he's faking his enthusiasm. You saw it last year with Billy Jaffe got fired because he didn't have enough, he wasn't enough pro-Islander. Now they caught Howie on the tape not being too pro-Islander by going, is it preseason yet? When's opening day or whatever he said?
Yeah,
and then what did he say? Wake me when the game's over. So let me know how this turns out. Not that I care.
Yeah. It's just unbelievable. I have a good amount of respect for him because during the intermission when they were losing, he was like, you know, it's completely out of frustration. You know what I mean? And deep down, he had a lot of courage to do that. So, but anyway, we're talking about announcers because that's, you know, what I want to be when I'm older. But the reason why I'm like, well, I'm not really, I guess you say pro Sam Rosen was because even I've been a Rangers fan my whole life. And ever since, you know, even when I didn't really know his name, when I was like, you know, 8 or 9 years old, I was always watching Rangers games. And I didn't even know what an announcer was, really. But I knew that voice would be called, would be like, that be like during the Rangers game. Like he would be there. Like he was like the Rangers because he's just, you know, the only hockey that I really watch for the most part is the Rangers, and he's been there since, like, you know, 84 with the MSG. So, he's the for the most part, every hockey game that I watch, he's been there. So he was my voice of hockey compared to what everyone says to, you know, about Doc or whoever else. But to me, Sam is my favorite because he just, every hockey game that I watch, he would be there to call it. And, you know, he's obviously a big fan and everything, so that's why. He's my voice of hockey, so that's why. I don't know if I never said that before, but there you go.
Well, it makes sense, Robbie. He's the only guy you've ever heard call Ranger game. It makes sense.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, it's just, I hate versus. You guys always, it's awful. It's awful. I don't even know the names, but it's just, I mean, and you know, you also said, you know, Howie Rose, how he announced to the Islanders. You know, that's, where did we get Nicoletti from?
Wasn't he with the Islanders?
Exactly. Yeah, he was with the Islanders, yes. And then once when JD left, and then they came over to the Rangers, which is a smart move, because, you know, at least with the Rangers, they people watch, but the Islanders, like, no one's there. And let me tell you something, just, and Butch Goring is just, when I watched, he was awful.
Butch Goring?
Butch Goring, yeah, there you go, there
Butch
you go.
Goring.
And, you know, Goring, yeah. And that reminds me, speaking of the Islanders, what do we think? Are they going to sweep the home and home, or do you think they'll at least take one of them?
They better sweep
total
this home and home.
Yeah, because
Henrik said it. Henrik said it himself today or yesterday. He said we got to match their intensity, which concerns me. just the fact that one of them has to say we got to match their intensity.
Yeah, and you know the reason why, and we said this before once they lost on Columbus Day, but they just. I hate playing them because people say to me, you know, you're a Mets Jets fan, you should be an Islanders fan because Queens, Long Island, you're a misplaced fan, you don't belong at the Garden, you belong at the Coliseum, you know, and everyone knows that I hate the Yankees, and people say to me that the Yankees and the Rangers go together, so if the Rangers win, that's like the Yankees beat the Mets, and I have to deal with all that, so it's awful. I can't wait until they move.
I really don't know how to respond to that. But what I will say is this. Don't worry about what people say. Let your freak flag fly. Root for the New York Rangers because they're the only team in the metro area that has a solid, loyal fan base. They are the premier New York team at the moment, and they will be when it's all said and done. The Islanders are a disgusting franchise, an embarrassment. They have their radio broadcasts are carried by Hofstra. They've got an announcer who doesn't want to be announcing them. They've got an owner that's already said he regrets buying them. You've got players who don't want to come to the team because they don't want to play in that dump, the mausoleum.
You know that they called that arena Fort Never Lose back in the 80s?
They what? Say that again.
They called this Fort Never Lose back in the 80s.
Yeah. Fort Always Lose.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
In the 80s, I weighed 160 pounds, so.
Yeah.
And I'll show you how long ago that was.
And I had about 90% more brain cells, too, back then, too, in the 80s. Yeah. You know, the 80s was great, but you know what? Michael Jackson's dead. And so are the Islanders.
And so is Reagan.
Yeah. But you know what, though? The Islanders are better win this. And you know what, though? And people, they're going to, I hope to see, the Red Rangers fans will always pack it. I mean, how many times have they whistled pods and sucks in there? And it's just, I love when they take it over. But it's just, I've never really, and obviously I wasn't around, but I remember, you know, I've seen clips of them. You know, the Islanders, they're just, I don't think I've ever seen such a fall from a team that was so dominant. Okay, there, I said it. Then I have seen with the Islanders these past few years. They're just atrocious. So they just,
They draft badly. They're terrible. If John Tavares didn't fall in their lap, they're terrible. They are a mess, and I'm glad they're a mess, and I hope they move. I hope everything that they have accomplished in that year where you said they dominated is totally eradicated from the history book. and I have such venom for the New York Islanders and their stupid fans who, when you engage them in a battle of wits, which is impossible with them because they're unarmed opponents, they go, well, the Rangers will be trying to buy a team. And it's like, listen, Chuckles, there's a salary cap now. Everybody's a level playing field in theory. Okay?
That's true.
It's a level playing for you because you can't spend the money. The Islanders are on the basement, the cap basement floor. They can't spend a dime. So anyway, they suck. Let's steamroll over them the next two games. Shut everybody up. Well, on the Islander fan side, get 4 points. We're much better than they are as far as work ethic, as far as talent-wise, in goal. Let's just get it done. No farting around. I mean, come on. That's
Amen.
All I have to say.
All right,
and
Robbie,
you know,
listen, I'm going to let you go. We'll talk to you next week, all right, buddy?
All right, well, sorry I couldn't make it to the thing, and hopefully the Rangers will win. I'm glad you guys had fun, all right?
All right, listen, you got to make
Robbie,
next year when we do this, all right?
I'm sorry, what?
You got to make it next year when we do this again.
All right, I should. All right, I'll see you then. I'll speak to you later. Hopefully they can get these 4 points, all right?
All right, buddy. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. See you later. Bye-bye.
I was listening to Sirius on my trip when I was driving to Pennsylvania. And one night I was listening to one of the sports channels that they have on Sirius. At night they replay Canadian sports talk shows like from the team in Toronto, I think it is. And then they replay a CBC hockey show. And I was listening to it. It was actually really good. And they had one of the guys, I think Jeff Marek was the host of one of the shows that I was listening to. And they had Elliot Friedman on. And they were talking about the whole Chris Botta thing with the Islanders. And Elliot Friedman said that he said something to the effect of that at some point the NHL has to step in. Because the Islanders aren't doing anything representative of a professional hockey team. He said nothing they do is professional. It was really funny. If it wasn't so late at night, I would have called you so that you could, and I would have put the phone up to the speaker so you could have heard these guys. It was pretty funny because then they got into a whole thing about Chris Botta and everything that went down with him, and about bloggers and credentials, and they actually mentioned how. They said, you know, there was that big story that came out about how the Rangers are trying to limit bloggers' access at the draft and things like that. So we indirectly got mentioned. They, you know, of course, they never mentioned us or anything like that. But it was an indirect mention that I thought was pretty interesting. But, yeah, just hearing him say the Islanders don't do anything that representative of a professional hockey organization. Yeah, it was a really good show. I can't remember the guy's name now. The other host that I listened to, but they had a good conversation just about all different kinds of hockey things. And, you know, they're on the team, I think is the name of the 590 AM in Toronto or something like that was the show they were putting back together. And it was good stuff. But, yeah, I thought that was funny.
And that's another thing. I mean, I don't want to go off on a little tangent here, but the candor and the way it is, hockey is handled and discussed in Canada is so much better here than the States. Because here in the States, first of all, you got to find somebody who's going to talk about it. But most of our information is disseminated from NHL Network on TV. And you'll see, like, you know, Frosty was alluding to it before. On the NHL Network, they were basically condoning what Sidney did, saying that Mike Johnson, who played in the NHL, was saying, oh, Sidney is not a dirty player. Dubinsky was a little bit out of line with that. And his other co-host was like, he was upset that how dare Dubinsky say these things about Sidney, and because they are shills for the NHL. And then you watch this NHL Live with Don LaGreca, and I watch with EJ Raddick, and sometimes Fish Face is on there, and Deb Kaufman, who we all know shunned me, spurned me, so to speak. But when the whole Colin Campbell nonsense went down, that stuff completely, you don't hear nothing about that anymore. That was, oh, I have the greatest respect for Colin Campbell. Well, actually, this would be Gary Bettman's voice. I have the greatest respect for, he decided to say that, and that completely went away. That's another thing. When fans perceive that the NHL upper echelon overseers and the caretakers are total shills, how can we respect the game? It ruins the game's credibility, and that serious talk that you talked about there with Serious Radio, in Canada, they're not afraid to go up against Bettman and what's going on. They talk like we talk about football, the frankness we have on broadcast. Here, you can't say anything to damage the game because it's struggling to exist. I mean, it's like everybody's here to promote the game and no criticism can be levied against the game. And decisions and rules. It just seems disingenuous to me, and that's why I believe that we have shows like this to succeed, because we do speak the truth. I mean, and everybody has an opinion. And, it doesn't mean we hate hockey. It doesn't mean I hate the Rangers because I think Eric Christensen sucks. You know, I just call it like it is, like us fans. I mean, it doesn't mean we're not fans. That's why I take severe umbrage when when that whole thing came out with the Rangers calling you and us a blue shirt fan of radio, irresponsible fans, because we dared go to cover that fire sailor rally. That we are irresponsible. What is it? I'm a fan of a team. I don't have no responsibilities. I got enough responsibilities in life. I got to have a responsibility when I'm rooting now? That's why John Rosasco's a bitch. Anyway.
But we know they're listening.
Oh, okay,
so we know they're listening, don't we?
Yeah. And we had a lot of season tickets holders there, Johnny. So you really better start coming around and start treating us really well. Us fans, you know, we deserve a lot better than what we're getting it from you. And, you know, how about a giveaway night for these people who have season ticket holders? Maybe give them a puck or a stick or something. Yeah, come on. Let's get going here. So, all right, I'm done.
By the way, when we were watching the game Friday night, did you see who was at the game? They showed him a couple of times
Emil
on TV.
Francis.
Emil Francis was at the game, looking dapper, as always.
I can't believe that guy's 84 or whatever he is.
Yeah. And let me tell you, he probably has a car service or something, but that's no short trip from where he lives to that arena, I can tell you. You know, that's an outing for Emil, so it was nice to see him at the game looking good, and hope all is well with Emil.
Yeah. And I felt really good because they have interviewed him a couple of times. They taped some segments with him. And I'm like, we had him on for like 2 hours, three times. Like, I knew the answers to the questions they asked him as John Monotone asked him. I knew the answers already because we have talked to him so often and for so long. And I can listen to that dude talk for hours. I mean, I really can. And not going to be around forever, so when we have them on, you got to tune in because it's an education. If you're really interested in the history of hockey, there's probably few guys that are still around that can tell it the way, you know, from the NHL's beginnings, and almost the NHL's beginnings.
Yeah.
We
were fortunate to have him and John Halligan, and, you know. I forget what I was going to say now, related to Emil, but anyway. All right. Well, I know what I was going to say. Yeah, I just don't think maybe – I don't think maybe we ought to have Rod Seeling back if we have Emil back.
No, that doesn't go too well. Rod Seeling refused to answer questions about incidents 40 years ago. I mean, come on. Statute of limitations. Come on. Can't be that sore, that wound that Ranger fans were yelling stuff at your family. And so, but hey, you live and you learn, and you learn and you live. I don't know what that means, but
sounds like good advice.
So, anyway, that's the way I look at it. So, a lot of people ask me, "How did you get Emil on the show?" And I said, "Jim went to his house and knocked on his door."
Yeah, basically. I mean, that's what happened. Stood there, stood there. I he didn't answer the door. He wasn't home. But and then I left him a letter that I had typed up along with my card and told him who I was and what we did. And he called me about a week later. He called me and that was it. That was how we forged our relationship. And,
John,
you know,
Monotone didn't do that.
No.
John Monotone was like Emil. He's calling him Emil. John Monotone didn't do that. That's why Jim Schmiedeberg is way better than John Monotone. He goes and hands-on gets the scoop.
We go the extra mile on this show. We succeed where others have failed, as you would say.
Yeah, exactly. Except with the co-host.
Right. You ready for another phone call?
Bring it on!
All right. We got another caller in on Skype. Who's this?
Hello. Guys, it's Paul. How are you?
Hey, Paul. Pleasure meeting you Friday night, Paul. It really
Absolutely,
was. Glad
yeah,
you made
man.
It out. I was really bummed. Well, I thought maybe you were coming to the game last Monday night. I was hoping to get a chance to meet you then. And then when you didn't go to, you weren't able to go to the game, I thought, okay, well, hopefully we'll see you Friday night. And I was really bummed when I saw you put the message up that you weren't going to make it. So it was a very nice surprise that you were able to make it.
Yeah, Yeah, it was tough to earlier in the week that game that you wound up getting tickets to at the last minute. I had some work issues and I couldn't get there that night. And then Friday almost turned into some issues with the with the family. But thankfully, I was able to get over there with my son, and we that's why I just wanted to call. We had such a great time. It was great to meet you finally, and of course to see my my friend Eddie again, and meet some other people like Frosty, who I didn't know, and who else was there that I met for the first time? There were a couple people I met for the first time. It was really great night.
How did Michael do in his game the next day?
We shouldn't talk about it.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. We took a loss on opening day, 6-3. So. But
all right.
We're on the bottom, and there's nowhere to go but up. He'll be
That's
playing
right.
for March, so he'll have some. There'll be some wins in there somewhere along the way.
Yeah, I have to say, and I said this to you, your son is a trip and a half. I mean, he knows the Rangers better than a lot of adults I know. I mean, you know, and he knows his hockey, and it was good to see that. The kids there too. Ava and Claude's son was there, and
Peter.
Jim's Peter was there, and Jim's the daughter Megan, and there was a smattering of children, and I love to see that because I wonder if they really realize that they must really think, wow, these people are real crazy. They're all sitting around here yelling at a TV set. And,
yeah,
it just was really good.
Yeah, my my son got a kick out of a couple people. So you probably can guess one or two of them off the top of your head.
Yeah, I can.
Lord.
So, did you hear my rant about Tortorella being a little bit of a hypocrite again? I know that you are.
Don't stop me up, please.
I don't know. I mean, the Rangers are playing well. And I'll tell you something, Paul, that the Rangers have done that a lot of teams have had a lot of problems with this year. A lot of teams have won five and then, like, dropped five. And the Rangers have stayed away from that long losing streak,
mm-hmm.
which is good. Because, they haven't gotten to a real slump. And they've faced a lot of adversity. I give it to you. But I would just like to see if you're playing badly for 15 games, 20 games, that there are some repercussions other than diminished ice time. I don't think there's anything wrong with sitting a guy that's struggling and just kind of giving him a kick in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, or maybe just bringing guys up. I see other teams do this all the time. You know, just for a few games to inject some new blood in it and make the guy say, listen, well, you know what, I'm not going to play if I don't play well. And I just felt like the Rangers, again, it hasn't gotten to, you know, the 0 hour where I feel like, it's really a situation where they need to do this because they have hung in there. But they have to get more shots on net. You just were not going to win getting 20 shots at it, especially with the offense that they have. You don't get a lot of two-on-ones. You don't get a lot of odd-man chances. And if it really come down to they just have no playmaking center. But you know what? I just don't believe that because in the first 15 games, I saw that first line go out, work and create scoring chances. And he started with the flip-flopping along. Now we're starting to see, and I hate that. That's where we got into trouble last year. I mean, what's your feelings about it?
Well, one thing I have to say, just getting back to actual Tortorella this year, and we talked about it a few weeks ago, he seems to be, and this is hard for me to say because I really, you know, if they said tomorrow he was out, you know, he would be out as coach, I'd have no problem with that. But he does seem to be somewhat in control this year, and that being that the team seems a little more relaxed coming out to play for him. They don't seem as uptight. They don't seem to, like that uptight atmosphere that seemed to be around the team last year. Now, of course, it's early in the season, but the first couple weeks, things could have, you know, we had, you know, Gabrick was out, Drury went out. Of course, Prosper hasn't played yet. And, you know, I got to say, the first 2 months, I really don't think with some of the injuries we've had, we've played that badly, although we want to see more consistency. But I just, with Tortorella, I just don't know as we move through the season if he's going to stay in control. I just hope he doesn't, you know, come off the rails again, because that may, you know, that makes the team so uptight. I know Nick Cotillo had talked about it last year. I think he was on Paulie D's show last year. And I remember Nicky saying, there is a problem with this team. They are afraid to make a mistake. They are so uptight. They sit there gripping their sticks. I still say I don't think he's the right coach for this team, but who am I? I know a lot of people will disagree with me.
Well, I would disagree with you. I've said it all along, you know, something seems different about him and about this team this year. I thought we saw a little bit of the old torts the other night after the Tampa game when he said they were brain dead. You know, I thought when I read those quotes, I'm like, oh, here we go. Here we go.
You know, I don't expect him to be a quiet boy and make the complete turnaround. I think I find myself now more in a defensive mode with him now. I didn't want to say get rid of him. I think he's done a good job. I want him to coach the Rangers. I think he's assimilating well now after just coming in and being a total ass. He's the kind of gentler Tortorella, but I don't want him to regress as far as the flipping of lines and I don't know. I'm a little pissed off because I'm such a big Anisimov fan that I feel like he's been, and I want to see the accountability issue. And it seems to me sometimes players' contracts get in the way of that. It's almost like we paid $3 million for this guy, so he's got to play $3 million worth of dollars. We got to get our money and sacrifice that rather than for wins or for the better of the team. And that's not the way you go about it. We found out with Wade Redden that obviously is not the way to go about it. Bad players shouldn't be playing. Struggling players shouldn't be playing. I'm not saying a guy has one or two bad games. I'm saying we've seen 20 games of Todd White. You can't really see him because he doesn't do anything. But, there's no reason this guy should be on the fourth line on any team the way he's played. But I understand, whatever Torch sees in him, maybe it's just the fact that Bugard isn't playing that he's in there. I don't know. So, now, I know, Jim, we discussed this yesterday, maybe going through the players and maybe giving them like a 25-game grade. Did you want to do that?
Sure, we could do that. I was just trying to find the video for everybody because you mentioned Wade Redden, and he got into a fight the other night.
Oh.
I was trying to find the video. He had a fight with
Banker?
No, he had a fight with Nick Tarnaski. But I can't find the video. I saw the video the other day. Somebody had it, but I couldn't watch it because I was at work. And now I can't find it again. Maybe it was on. Maybe Puck Daddy had it. I'll have to. Give me a minute. I'll see if I can find it. He had a pretty funny. But anyway, yeah, absolutely. We could run through the roster if you want to do that. We have one other call on hold. If you want to take the call, and then we can do it and get everybody's opinion. Okay.
It's just a great poll.
Paul, are you
Hello?
Still with us?
I'm here, guys.
Oh, okay. You want to stay? You want to stay on with us, or?
Yeah, I'll hold on for a few more.
Okay. All right, let's take let's bring this call on real quick. 631-974, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
Yeah, take my call.
What's going on?
It's Malachi Milamed.
What?
Never mind, it's Greek. Never mind. Never mind.
It's all Greek to me.
Yeah. Oh, it was great seeing all you guys on Friday. It was a great time, man. Had a great time.
Good. It was great to meet you as well. No, excuse me. He fought with Matt Claxton. I found the video. Let me see if I can find the link.
My barometer, if Costa had a good time, then I know it was a good time. That's why even when I saw Costa on Facebook, I had to ask him. Because he'll tell you right off if it stinks. Well, he went to a roller derby meetup, and he told me it stunk and those people were horrible. So he tells it like it is. That's not what I like about him.
No, the problem with the roller derby is it's a lot of like hipsters, you know, too cool for the room types, you know, the type of people, if you went to the Garden, they'd be in the lower seats, you know, with the wine and cheese. You know what I'm saying? those type of people, not the real fans, where they're sitting up in the blues.
And that's who we are. We're a crazy bunch too. I mean, you know, we're not. There's no airs about us. We're all Ranger fans, and we're all bleeding blue, and we're all just hanging loose and being who we are. Like I said earlier, letting our freak flag fly. No air, no wine and cheese over there.
For us, it's beer and cheese sticks.
Yeah, mozzarella. That was great. It was really a great time, and this was great.
Like I said, guys, because we did something at the old barn along Hempstead Turnpike, we got to do something at the Croc. We got to get a Blue Shirt Band shirt friggin' thing at the Croc.
Hey, just wear your Kevlar.
That. Bro, we gotta be packing if we go over there. And that place is a war zone. So yeah, you know, who knows what's gonna happen in the future? I mean, this show is taking off. Over 40 million listeners last week. 40 million. Unbelievable how the show is taking off.
Bigger than a Super Bowl.
We're drawing up. Bigger than the Super Bowl last week's broadcast. And we had technical difficulties. It's unbelievable how this show is exploding before our eyes.
Worldwide.
All right, Costa. You said your piece. And anything else you'd like to add, my friend?
Well, I think as far as the blue pudding goes, We're all on the same page on that, with as far as what happened with Crosby and the slew footing, you know.
Now, did you flip out at home when it happened, or did you remain calm?
I had to see it a few times before I kind of, you know, almost threw my glass at the TV.
I knew that was going to be the answer. That's why I had to ask it.
but here's the thing. When stuff like that happens, the Rangers got to do some frontier justice over there. You know what I'm saying? Maybe crack some skulls and take some names. You know?
Well, I think they responded, what, Avery had a fight after that? Well, that was the Avery fight. But
well, forget Fredo and Whiskey smack him a couple times.
Listen, if you go after
Hey, look,
the ball,
he's a goal scorer now. He's got to protect his hands.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you could take out Sidney Crosby without getting an 80-game suspension.
Screw that! The game's rigged against the Rangers anyways.
It's good for business, Costa.
When the Penguins are winning, it's good for business.
That's right. Even Jim knows the buzzwords to get you going. That's what I like.
All right, Costa.
All right, I'm punching out. I'll see you next week.
Later.
All right, thank
Bye.
You. Oh, God, I love him. He is freaking funny. I love what he flipped up. That's good. It's passion. I love passion. All right. Hit me with a guy. All right. I'll start. Brady Nowitzki. What are you grading him? A, B, C, D, or F?
I'm giving him an A.
I'm giving him a B.
Now, why are you only giving him a B?
I still think he's too streaky.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think he makes the most. I see certain games he's just not there. I mean, he's improved a lot. He got up to a great start. I can't give him an A yet.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe I'm in the minority there. What do you think, Paul?
No, I was going to say that, too. His consistency still isn't there. You used the word streaky. Same thing. Just going by this year, though, I grade him more near an A, like a B-plus, though. But definitely, I agree with you 100%, though. He's still just a little too inconsistent.
Well,
yeah,
I'm in a good mood.
It's
Christmas, and I'm giving him an A.
Okay, let's go with Ryan Callahan.
I'll give Callahan. I give him a. Tough. I'm gonna give him a B+.
Yeah,
picked up his scoring. He's picked up his scoring. I think he's,
How many goals is he?
Seven. He's got seven goals. He's on pace for about 22, 23 goals. I think he's become a little less streaky, I think. He's assumed more of a leadership role with this team. So I'll put him in there at a B+.
That's what I agree on that. I go with a B+, but A+ for heart and dedication and, the blocking the shots and the hits. He's been really good. He's been really good.
I think he's the captain of the team right now. He's not wearing the C, but I really think he's in that role. And I think he's doing a he's done a good job. He's a B plus with me. All right, let me throw you. I'm going to give you Sean Avery.
Sean Avery is tough. Well, compared to last year, I've got to give the guy a B. I mean, he's been more involved, but he has a diminished role now. And when you're playing in the fourth line minutes, he's not impacting the games, but as much as he used to, but I can't give him a C because although I'd like to see more offense out of him, if he's not playing a lot, how are you going to get goals for him? I've seen him start things in certain games. I think I've seen him draw penalties. He's been much more involved. It's hard for me to give him a C, but he's on that cusp between a B and a C.
So you're B-?
I give a B-, maybe a C. The chat room is convincing me maybe he gets a C, even though
I was going to say I was going to give him an incomplete because I just I've like you said, it's very hard to grade, to give him any kind of grade, really, because he's not getting the minutes. You know, and I'm just, you know, I'm just starting to wonder what he's really contributing or not contributing. I don't know. I'll leave him at CC plus. I'll go with the chat room. I'll use my my lifeline. I'll go to the chat room and give him a C.
Yeah, his chat room has got me down to I'll go to the C. What do you think, Paul, on Avery?
Well, the first thing when you said let's grade Sean Avery, I thought too what Jim just said, INC, incomplete. It's just so hard to gauge, as you said, being on the fourth line this year. You know, I mean, I think, you know, if you, you know, you guys said it, a C. And that's,
well,
you know, I don't think you can give him less, but you certainly can't give him more, and you just don't know with the Tortorella factor, you know, how much that he's sort of, you know, putting a harness on Sean.
Limited.
And
yeah.
Tomorrow night, at least in the beginning, he's going to be on the first line with Gabrick. So, you know,
wow.
maybe we'll see some. It'll be interesting to see how that goes. All right, now we're gonna let's get to it. Now let's get the debate going.
Wait, but I wanted to just say one more thing.
Okay.
That I think one of the reasons that he has dropped to a C is because Brandon Prust has surpassed him.
Good point.
And Brandon Prust, we'll get to him later, but Brandon Prust really has fulfilled that Avery role much better. And has, you know, even though he hasn't got many goals, he's so much more tenacious and aggressive with the forecheck. And so anyway, that's all right, now let's get. What are we going to get down to, beeswax here? What are you going to introduce now?
Well, I think there's a couple that'll be good to. Henrik Lundqvist. We'll go there.
All right, I'm going to give him a B minus. A B minus because I'm not going to get on him like you know certain people do. He's like second or third. He's tied with a lot of guys with three shutouts so far. I think he's played better of late. He started off kind of rocky. There's no way I can give Henrik Lundqvist a C. I can't give him an A, so I'm going to stick with a B.
I'm right there with you, a B. You know, I'm a... You are what your record says you are, and right now he's 9-8. You know, you want to talk to me about defense? You want to talk to me about this? You talk to me about that? You know, I think he's B. He's got the shutouts, yes, but he's been inconsistent. He really has, and maybe it was the flu, maybe he was sick. I don't know what it was, but I think right now he's a B. The chat room looks like. Looks like they're coming in around. Yeah, it looks like we're on the money with the chat room. B, C, Frosty says
C+. A lot of people
plus.
Are going to. Some people are going C's. I mean, he let in some, you know, some really questionable goals early on, but I don't know. I mean,
Chris gives him an A in hotness. Oh, I was stirring people up at the viewing party the other night. I said, "Well, it's nice to see Biron's backup doing a good job." You should have seen the looks I was getting. Oh, it's nice to know that Biron can take a night off and the Rangers don't suffer for it. I was getting the looks.
Paul, what are you wearing? Where are you on Henrik?
Oh boy, I hate to say this, but just judging like right now, if you said I think you just said Frosty said it. I'm not in front of the screen, but I would a C plus also, and it kills me because I love Henrik, but he's just been very, very erratic this year so far. And there's you know some games I'm seeing.
Well, you know I think we all love him, you know, but you know we're trying to be unbiased, and I think B is a fair grade. And so you want to give him a C plus? I'm not going to argue with you.
You know, he's just one game over 500, and You know, he just, I don't know. He just isn't in his groove yet, so to speak.
The competition with Buron would kind of up his game a little bit. That he has somebody in that. And if I could just go off on a little side note here, or sidetrack, so to speak. Did any of you guys catch that behind the bench with Tortorella and Keenan? You guys see that?
No, my boy caught it.
No.
It actually, I have to say, for an MSG program, it was about the most honest thing I've seen in years. Tortorella said on it that, this is verbatim, that when, if Henrik doesn't start every game, Henrik is pissed off. Henrik wants to start every game, and he is just pissed off if he doesn't start. Which is great. You want a guy who's going to play all the time. And I have to say, and that's the good thing you want in your goalie. But I really think Buron should, you know, if Buron's there and playing and well, that should fuel him. And I think Henrik's got to come out of that. I mean, I'm no goaltending expert by any means, but he's got to come out of that net just a little bit, you know, because he is apt to get beat on that glove hand side. You know, we've seen it. And he has let some softies in. But I can't give him a C yet because I can't really say, oh, that's the reason they lost because Henrik didn't play. You know, we always expect Henrik to be a world beater to win the game for us. And I don't know. Yeah, I'm torn. I'm really torn on this one.
And see, my take, we talked about this last week when we had, when Chris called in from the UK when we did the show. You know, if that's the case, you know, there's starting to be this theory that's coming up about Lundqvist that he wants to play every night. Well, then you can't use the excuse that when he plays 70 games or 72 games, whatever he played last year, that he's tired, that he's worn out. You know, you can't have it both ways. Either he needs the rest or he doesn't need the rest. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Definitely.
So.
He's just a Looney Tune like me.
All right. How about, here's another one that I think might be, how about Mark Stahl?
I like Mark Stahl. I'm giving him an A. I just think the physical play has been better. When he decides to rush the puck, he got that big goal in Pittsburgh. I think he's finally starting to develop into the real shutdown guy, one of the premier shutdown guys in the league. And I found out the hard way at that viewing party when I started to say, oh, I thought Mark Stahl had a bad game. And everybody looked at me like, we're going to kill you, Ed. I was like, oh, well, I picked on the wrong guy to be in person. It's all right when I'm at the safety of my computer desk, but when I'm live with people, man, they looked at like they were going to shoot me. I think Mark Stahl has played very well. That hit against Stajan is one of the best hits of the year. And I just want to isolate it to one game, but him stepping up and knocking that guy, you know, Fruit Loopy, I think he's played a little bit more physical.
You know, it was almost scary watching him try and get off the ice after that hit. I mean, he tried to get up, went right back down to all fours, was crawling across the ice, tried to get up again, and just kept. I mean, it was almost scary. It really was. I mean, we were there for that. So, and it was almost, we almost missed a hit because we were watching the play, and the hit was kind of, you know, behind the play a little bit, but that was a great hit. I'm giving Stahl an A. I'm right there with you, Eddie.
I agree.
Now, how about Dan Girardi?
B+.
B+. He's right there with an A too.
Mm-hmm.
He's played well defensively. He's blocking shots like a madman. He's getting shots on net. He's one of the few rangers that can get that little wrist shot low and on net with people traffic in front. He's really on the he's stepped it up big time. Both those guys getting contracts. really have stepped it up. They have played like they're there to earn the money. And sometimes you fear when guys get their money that they may slack off. Girardi has played like, you know, he wants to be, you know, accountable for every dollar that he makes. And he's been fantastic. He has been probably the... And there have been a lot of surprises on the Rangers' defense, but he has really stepped it up, I think, so far through 25. He's
I'm
B
giving him
plus
a B-plus. Please don't tell Jackie Lomba, though. She won't talk to me anymore.
Listen, Jackie's got, got some issues with Girardi. You know, she can have him, fine. But we're moving on. We're going to forget about that Gaborik into the canal.
I'm giving Girardi a high A because I really do think he's been the Rangers' best defenseman. That's not to take anything away from Staal, but I think Girardi has been their best defenseman.
Okay.
How about Steve Eminger?
He's been everything. I mean, you know, he's done his job. A guy that, you know, I talked to some people who covered the Flyers, and I asked about him in the offseason. They were like, he's, you know, he's a seventh defenseman type. He surely filled a good role here. He's exceeded expectation. He hits. You know, I got to give him a B. I can't go AY. I don't think he's a difference maker in the game, but he definitely, especially with the Roosevelt injury, stepped up and played well in a fourth slot, whereas I wasn't sure if he was even a five or a six. So, a tip of the hat to Mr. Eminger.
Paul, what do you think?
Absolutely, because I thought that, not that it was a bad signing, but I thought it was going to be like an insignificant signing for them. And I think he's for the most part, played very well for the role that they've asked him to step into. And I give him a B, too, but it's a very strong B. And, I've been very surprised by him.
Yeah. I'm going to ride Mandar's coattails on this one. It's been a while since I did that. I'm going to give him a B+. For the job they've asked, like you said, Eddie, for the job they've asked him to do, he has completely shown the value of having the seventh defenseman they didn't have last year. I'm gonna give him a B+. He is one of the players I've been most pleasantly surprised with on this team.
Talk about defensemen, if you want to stick on the defenseman who've been pleasantly surprised, I think we got to go with Michael Sauer. How do you guys feel about Sauer?
I love Sauer. For a rookie, I think he's great. He's tough around the net. He refuses to back up an inch, and he's been a big surprise too.
And I like the way he jumps in. You know, he's not afraid to get in anybody's face when somebody takes a shot at one of his teammates. I'm going to put him at I'll give him a B plus. I agree with Joe Micheletti said it last week or the week before, and I'll echo what he said. Sauer, every game, every night, he's getting better, and he seems to better understand every night what it takes to play defense in the NHL. And as much as I hate to agree with Micheletti sometimes, I think he said it perfectly.
Yeah, he's a B+. Me and Copsy were talking about him, and Copsy would like to see him, be more feisty every night and really get that reputation where, but we've seen it, on and off, and it's good to see. Like I said, when we went to that Calgary game and he got those two minors, you got those two fighting majors in the first period. I was like saying to myself, when was the last time a Ranger defenseman, like, basically started two fights in the first period and really just saying, listen, you know, we're not going to take any crap, and, you know, I'm going to come to the aid of teammates and this and that. It's been a long time since we've had guys like that. And if he could stay away from the injuries, which have plagued him in the minor leagues, he's looked really good. He's made a lot of progress in a short amount of time since the preseason. And
he's considered a rookie, right? I mean, I know he played a couple of games here and there last year, maybe even the year before, but he's considered a rookie, isn't he?
I think he is. He hasn't played many. I don't think he's played. I think he still qualifies for sure.
Okay,
I'm
pulling up his career stats, and I see, he had a couple of games played in 2008. But maybe they don't list any, the stat page that I'm looking for doesn't have him listed for any games last year. So I don't know. Maybe the chat room can back me up there. I would assume he's still considered a rookie, but
let's see. I'm checking here for you. All right, go out to the next guy, and I'll get back to you on this.
Okay. How about, let's see.
Yes, he is a rookie.
Okay.
He's a rookie.
How about Gabrick?
Paul's reacted. All right, he hasn't played a lot of games, so let's give him some slack there. But he's not the force so far that he was last year. He has to be involved. We may have seen a little sign of it on the goal he got against Fleury with that awesome wrist shot. I think he misses Prostel big time. They had some chemistry going, and I think that has been an adjustment for him. But they need to get him going, but right now, I can't give him an A or a B, so I'm giving him a C.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there. You know, if he misses Prospel, okay, I'll give you that. But, you know, Vinny Prospel might never play for the Rangers again, so he needs to get over it. You know, and the Rangers need to figure out who he can play with. Can he play with Stepan? Can he play with Artie? You know, I don't even want to really entertain the thought of him playing with Eric Christensen all year. But, you know, they need to figure it out. He needs to figure it out, and he needs to get going. I'm giving him a C. Paul, what do you think?
Yeah, he's just been, since he's come back from the injury, there's just been too many games where, I mean, Tortorella was right. You know, I have no love for him, but where he just hasn't stepped up. He's really been invisible out there. And, you know, a guy who's supposed to be your best player, he's at least has to show some flashes here and there, and he just hasn't.
I think this home and home will be critical to him. I think he needs to really just bust out against the Islanders and get. Now, the Islanders, I've watched a lot of their games. They don't get blown out a lot. I mean, they lose by one or two goals. They're not a good team. Let's face it. They're not a good team, obviously.
They suck.
But they suck. But Rolison plays very well. I mean, that guy has been – they should be worse than they are. But that being said, I think this is a good time for Gabrick to just take it, get one of those streaks where he gets two goals and the Rangers don't have to worry about so much relying on Dubinsky and Callahan, and maybe adding a couple goals, you know, so they can get to that four-goal mark, and where, you know. So I think it's critical that Gabrick, I mean, he's going to have his chances, and so he's got to really do, he's got to shine in these two games. If not, I'm going to start worrying about him. And you know what happens when I worry? Oh! I get crazy, so I'm nuts.
All right. They're grading Derek Stepan's mom in the chat room, and she's scoring well. How about Eddie, Susan Boyle?
Susan Boyle?
Maureen Boyle?
You're talking about Susan Boyle. I mean, has 12 career goals coming into the season, has 10 already. I have Brian Boyle as an A because he has completely turned his game around. Number one, he's more physical. There's a lot of after-whistle activities that he's involved in. Chirping, I love it. He's hitting more. He's on the forecheck. He's skating much better. He's got 10 goals. All right. I regret that he's only got one assist, but still, we now could you. I mean, you go from a guy who had what? He had 4 goals last year. He went from, what does this guy do to what he? You know what he's doing now? I give him an A. This guy, you know, I don't know how long it's going to last, but it looks good to me. And he's young and, very, very good. And like RC says in the chat room, always involved. Looks always involved out there. So I'm giving him an A.
Okay. Paul, what do you think?
Absolutely. I think he's been another surprise, him and Emminger and Sauer. Those guys really listen, this guy was a first-round pick, too. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say he's going to, turn into a top-line player. But obviously he had to have some skill that he was drafted in the first round. And, hey, maybe he's a late bloomer. I think what's helped him, though, to me, it seems like his skating has improved somewhat this year. So I don't know if that's it, that he's, when your feet move, you can do things, too, better. And I think that's one of the things I've noticed.
Yeah, the figure skater that worked on him, I can never remember her name, Underhill.
Barbara Underhill?
Barbara Underhill, yeah. I think she saved, I said this, and I think she saved his career. I really do. I mean, this guy was going nowhere as a 4-goal scorer at 6'7", who wouldn't play physical and couldn't skate. I mean, this guy, he was going nowhere. Now he's playing like Paul said, he's playing like the first round pick that he was.
And I think we got to give credit to Jim Schoenfeld, who was the guy that suggested that Boyle go to see Barbara Underhill. And I really think there are a few guys with their heads screwed on straight in that Ranger organization, and Schoenfeld was one of them. I know Schoenfeld doesn't like to deal with the press, but sometimes I wish he was the head coach of the team because he seems to be on the ball. I'm happy with Torts this year, but still, Boyle, got to give him his props. The guy has completely turned it around, and let's hope it continues.
How about Anisimov?
Well, I mean, you look at the stats. I mean, I feel like he gets jobbed by the coach. I don't know why. I mean, I just feel like I go with a B. I think if you would kept him on that line, playing with the pack line, night in and night out, he is going to come to play. And, he's a guy that I just feel like, I for whatever reason, I don't know what it is, it just... He seems to get the short end of the stick a lot of times, so to speak. So I give him a B. And a guy, 21, 22, whatever he is, young guy, developing, progressing, B.
On pace for about 21 goals, 23 assists, about a 45-point year. I think...
you're going to get a play-in in the fourth line. I mean, I'm sorry. I won't let it go.
What do you think, Paul?
I think Eddie touched on it, too. It's hard to gauge him because it seems like the what phrase was that you used, Matt? The jobbing by the coach? It seems like, if under the right circumstances, if he got the right amount of ice time and was placed properly. But I just still don't know about him. I think what you see is what you get, but listen, playing, a different coach comes in and he gets, used in different situations. I mean, maybe more come out, but what I'm trying to say right now, he's good, but I'm just not, how can I say it? I just don't know how much more upside there is to him, and that's my opinion. I just don't know about him.
I think the guy's, he's always improved over his last year, his whole professional career. I really think you know, I think he could provide I see him as a 25-goal guy with maybe 25 assists, maybe a solid third-line, second-line center. I was thinking about this. The way he's viewed by the coach, and, you know, the Rangers are going to probably make a bid, now correct me if I'm wrong, for Brad Richards at the trading deadline. So he becomes available. I could see Anisimov being a guy that they may dangle to try to get Brad Richards, which I would want to see. I want them to stick to the young guys and, so I hope that isn't the case. But so I'm a B on Anisimov, but I also got to give him an incomplete because he just has kind of disappeared. His playing time has just evaporated since Gavrik has come back.
As far as Richards goes, if they want to go get Richards, why not just go get him after when the season's over? If they want him to, if they feel that he would be the answer to, you know, give them the first line center that they need, why get rid of anybody? You know, why mortgage any of the future? You know, because that's what it's going to take. Dallas isn't going to take our crap back for Brad Richards. You know, they're not going to take Eric Christensen and Roosevelt. Maybe I should. And that's not even to say Roosevelt is crap, but they're not taking that. You know, they're going to want building blocks, and to do that for Brad Richards on the chance that you might not re-sign him at the end of the season just doesn't make sense. So why not wait until he's a free agent and then go get him? He's only 30. So you're not looking at this. Wouldn't be the same old story where you're getting a guy on, you know, on the downside. I don't think he's still in his prime. But I would much rather if they want to go get him, that's fine. But go get him in the off season. Figure out a way to do it and go get him, and that's fine. Don't trade anybody. Don't get rid of. Callie says Rosie, Redden, Christensen, and Gilroy for Richards. Sold. Where do I sign?
Yeah. Gilroy.
Good deal.
All right, throw some other guys out there.
Well, since you brought him up, Matt Gilroy.
I don't know what he does. What does he do? Is he good offensively? Is he good defensively? Does he hit? What does he do?
No, and no. You know,
horrible.
So where are you grading him? You giving him an F?
I mean, he hasn't been a detriment out there. I won't give him an F, but this is something that we had a little Facebook war on earlier in the week about how I was kind of questioning the Rangers taking McElrath instead of Cam Fowler in last year's draft because Fowler is their power play quarterback, but maybe the Rangers felt that Matt Gilroy was going to be that power play quarterback and didn't take Fowler because they had Gilroy and Delzato. But he is, he couldn't quarterback, the Tennessee Titans right now. This guy's terrible. He's horrible.
Put him on the wing.
One of the guys that you said that he, one of your picks, and not that you were saying he was going to improve, but you thought he was going to have a better year this year.
Yeah,
I
really did.
Tom, time is running out on this guy.
He's still growing into his body, though.
So am I.
I would say, I say, give him a chance to play the wing. Give him 10, 15 games on the wing. What's the worst that could happen? He stinks? Why not? I think he's a pretty good skater. Because I don't think he can play defense in the NHL. I think he's a winger. He was a converted winger in college. Put him back at the wing. See what he could do. And if he fails, then you get rid of him. Then you give up. You give up on the Matt Gilroy experiment. He's a free agent at the end of the year anyway. You're not getting anything. I mean, he has no trade value right now. None. Nobody's taking him for anything. You might get Wade Redden back. You might get Kotalik back for Gilroy. What do you got to lose by putting him on the wing for 15 games? What's the worst that could happen?
The Rangers swingman thing never works. That's why.
Works for Gretzky when they put him at center.
Dallas Eakins. Come on.
Gretzky, he played center.
That's not a swing, man.
Gilroy for John Stipp. Frosty just won't let it go.
Nipples.
Gilroy for Phil Simms.
All right, so let's move on from Gilroy. We got limited time here. We got to move
on. All right, yeah, we're running out of time. Well, I figured you didn't want to run down everybody. I was just trying to maybe the ones that would give us the best debate. How about Russell and Fedotenko? What's that?
C. No, I was going to say I give him a C.
Okay.
Everybody seems to be very. I was going to say the hot button topic would be Frolov.
Oh.
But Fedotenko. Fedotenko, I, for a guy they picked up for nothing, he's done okay. He's a stopgap. He's okay. I don't know. I think some Ranger fans overrate him.
Yeah, I
think
last
year, he's a gem, so
yeah.
I'm with him.
For what they signed Fedotenko for, he's okay. All right, how about Frolov?
Q. How low can I go with these letters?
A Q.
I mean, the guy's horrible. He's got to get his act together. He's been impotent, been soft. He doesn't wrap the puck around.
The frap around.
Frap.
That was funny last Monday night. Every time he shot the puck, what? No wrap around?
He's got to step it up. Thank God he's only under contract for 1 year. Had enough of that buffoon. Everybody says I love that word buffoon. By the way, I do love that word buffoon. Paul, where are you on Frolov at this point? Not hard, huh? Not opinionated.
Paul? No, we lost
all
Paul.
Right. Mando's asking about Delzato.
Okay. I was going to get to him next. So,
see,
you go first on Delzato.
Michael Delzato has been super inconsistent. His point totals are nowhere where they should be. He should be improving from last year, not going backwards. He looks like at times he's making it up as he goes along defensively. He's all around, flopping around. I don't know what he's doing. He's got so much raw talent, but it seems like he doesn't. He's not very disciplined in his game. It looks like he needs to be taught to play defense at times. And that stretch pass is just so freaking predictable and it's so annoying. What he needs to do is to rush the puck, gain the blue line, and head to the net more. He's certainly a good enough skater to do that. I'm giving him a C-. I expect a lot more out of him than I've gotten this year. And flat out cost us a couple games because of his buffoonery.
I think he's lacking confidence right now, and he's kind of a cocky confidence guy, and I think that's where he's. He can't hit the net. You know that, like I said, that Pittsburgh game. It seemed like he missed the net four times, but it's not just the Pittsburgh game. It just seems like he's always missed. I just think his confidence is shot right now, and I think I'm with you that. Game or two books watching up there would probably benefit him pretty well.
Yeah, he's a guy that they should sit. Like I said in the earlier in the show, when Ottawa did that with Eric Carlson, they should do the same thing. Just have him sit, watch some games from the Skybox, as Zach said. And he just seems out of position a lot.
And again, you like you said, offensively, he's not hitting the net. He's got to hit that net. Now, we saw some flashes when he had that one goal that was kind of like the Leach goal against Vancouver, where that's, wow, the Michael Delzato, that's the one I remember from last year. But, you know, two goals and six assists or whatever he's got at this point, it's just not acceptable. He's got to progress instead of regress. So, yeah, he's been, you know, and I got to admit, Zach called this a lot earlier than I did because, you know, again, MDZ is one of those guys that I love, but he has struggled.
Yeah. Guys, we're running out of time real quick. Just want to thank you all for listening. Are we going to do a post-game Friday night? You still want to do that after the second Islander game?
Yeah, why
there?
Not? Yeah.
All right, Friday night we'll do a post game show. You know, same as always. As soon as the game is over, we'll be on the air. So we'll catch you guys Friday night. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
All right, we're off the air,
yeah.
And I got it. Chris wanted me to mention that Delzato needs to stop looking in the rearview mirror. And okay. I think we had. Hello. Well, I think that was Jeff on hold, Cutter, and I picked up on him because I left him on hold for a while because quite frankly, I didn't want to interrupt what we were doing to get to Jeff because I know Jeff wasn't going to talk about the Rangers, and then I picked him up and he had music playing, so I don't know what that was, but anyway.
Yeah, good show. Sorry it was late.
Oh, it's all right. You were out shopping.
That's right, baby.
The most wonderful time of the year.
Done.
You got all your shopping done today?
Pretty much. It's all done.
Wow, very nice.
It was really impossible. It was an awful day out here. It was raining and windy, and so all the lunatics were not out, so this was a good time to do it.
Oh, you were the only lunatic out, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's great. I love being a lunatic.
All right,
brother man.
Sounds good. I'll talk to
Take
you later, and I'll set us up for Friday night.
All right, sounds cool.
All right, talk to you later. Bye.
Got to pee.
Daddy.
Got to go.
Are you done?
I am done, my love.
Yay! I know you have to be done. I know you have to be all done.
What you doing?
Dying.
That's really good, Megan.
Really good.
With the tongue hanging out.
So,
with the tongue hanging out.
And you know what? I've noticed that I do that too.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm really, I'm out.
What, babe? No, I got it. You stay in here. It's chilly out. It's okay, honey. I got it. Okay? You sit in college, okay? Are we going to eat?
Yes. I
don't
need that.
You did it.
I don't
need that. Honey, I got all this. There's not much left. I got it. How much shopping?
Good.
Were you a good girl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I booked.
She told me to lose a huge work. I'm starting to get embarrassed. So we got to stop what we're doing at home.
Megan.
Yeah?
You got to stop doing that when we're not at home, okay? When we're in the car or something, want to do it, it's okay. But gotta be a little more ladylike.
Oh.
Right?
Why do you say so?
Big.
Yeah. Whatever you say so.
Whatever you say so, man.
Huh. I made my own journey.
Okay. Okay. Sounds good.
Start with our
our miles of.
Excuse me, Doug Boone is back again.
Thank you.
This will happen every couple of moments. When it happens, it's best just to play it as a lie.
It's not like you can.
Don't you have juice or something?
No, I
didn't. Precious few feet left.
I got you too.
Okay.
And
you have a jug in the trunk.
Yeah. Hey, they handed me a prime seat and we approached our first victim.
So you were called out to a stand. And you arrive at this. Beautiful maggot paradise.
Thank you.
So you
want to close the door? Case type.
Death investigation.
DI. Case number.
You can make up whatever number you want.
Really, really upset.
Risky out there.
Investigators me.
Daddy.
Stay in decomposition.
Gotta go. Bathroom.
Daddy. Megan, leave Daddy alone.
Just leave those right there, please. If we lose them, we're not going to be able to play. And I told you, Mommy's going to cook dinner.
Is it a new pot?
No.
Oh.
One this size, they can come with a new one. So
oh.
I do have to keep it in the old pot.
Oh, okay. You can have juice after you eat your dinner. You know the rules.
I'm ready.
What? You have one drink. To me what happened when you went shopping again, because I couldn't grasp what you were trying to tell me.
Okay. Hold
up. No problem.
Mama.
Honey, I can't help you right now. I'm sorry.
What's the matter?
I want ABCs.
No. That's not on the menu tonight. Mommy's making tortellini and garlic bread.
I want garlic bread. I'm gonna
play
in my
room. We're gonna eat in a minute.
I'm gonna play.
Megan. What? Come out here, please. Now, please. No, without the ball. Come out here. Come. I said without the ball. Megan, there is no room in this room because of your stuff is everywhere. You've got markers, crayons, coloring books up there, Play-Doh on the floor. Your stuff is everywhere, honey. We got to get this room cleaned up. I'm not going to decorate the house for Christmas on top of a mess. Huh? I know. Go sit and eat your dinner. But
your stuff is everywhere, Megan.
That's garlic bread. You just said you wanted garlic bread.
It's hot, so you have to wait a few minutes.
Smells good.
I am starving. I don't know about you.
I am too. Are you bringing mine?
Huh?
Are you bringing?
Yeah.
Okay. What's the matter? Nothing. Why do you have a puss? Oh, since when? You'd get up there if there was a piece of candy up there. You can get up there just fine. Stop farting around. Do you need a high chair?
No.
Well, maybe you should try and get up into that one then. I'll go get you the high chair.
No.
Then get up in that chair.
Daddy, aren't you
going to
watch cartoons on
me? No, Mommy's watching the show.
Here you go. I was talking.
Thank you.
Garlic bread, please.
You got garlic bread.
I'm done with it. Is the garlic bread? Can I have some?
Hold on.
Turned out pretty good.
Can you sprinkle some cheese on hers, please?
Sit down.
Spaghetti meatballs?
I see a lot of meatballs on sale for $1.99 a bag.
Yes. Cool. I would have told you to get two. Good deal.
No, you need one. The advanced decay is most when the maggots are starting to move away from the body. They'll actually migrate away.
Scene temperature.
All right, so tell me what happened with the shopping. No, I have a fork.
Okay. I have a fork.
Before I even started shopping, I stopped at the service desk and I asked. I said, okay, do I have a credit card? And they said, yes. $100, do your shopping. And it was the same lady that tried to help me last night. But she's like, oh, I'm good, bad. So I did all my shopping and I'm checking out. And the cashier messed up. She hit total in the middle or like towards the end of the order.
Right.
And they're like, oh, well, you can't use your credit after she already hit total. I said, this is not my fault. This is her fault. Steadily raising my voice.
Right.
So the manager that was helping me last night just said, let her take it. I know what credit was there. And I know damn well. When you're done eating, go check out our Stitch.
My Stitch?
Oh, the maggots.
No. When the maggots are feeding, they produce a lot of heat. So if you stick your finger down in the maggot mouth, it's going to be a lot hotter than it is outside.
And aside from my own edification, there's no real science. There was just a chance for me to feel that heated maggots on a rotting course.
How often do you get to do that?
For a while.
How are the crescents? Aren't they good?
Yeah.
That is an excellent tip.
Get over that.
Good. Since the field report required more scientific data than my finger could supply, we used a thermometer for 5 different measurements.
I told myself it's never Fahrenheit.
We measured the ambient temperature, body surface temperature, the ground temperature, and then we measured the body itself. And finally, we put the thermometer right in a pile of squirmy maggots, right in the mass of maggots.
Yep. Maggots, humans, we thermoregulate. We have a pretty constant body temperature. The maggots don't. They rely on the outside temperature. So that's why temperature is a really important factor for us and how we can use it to help determine how long these maggots and then therefore the body has been here. If it has a
so did you wind up using the whole credit at prize? Or?
Yeah.
The maggot mess is the enormous part of the whole thing. The body surface is the coolest. The whole thing would tell a smart person many things. For me, it's just a series of numbers I can read back.
What's that? Well, we'll teach you what to do with them when we go back to the lab.
Coming up.
Him last week. I had 8 right last week. How many did you have? Jesus. How many did Kim have? She only had 5. Dad had a huge week.
Did
he? Hit 11.
You think you're going to start to throw up?
It's going to be almost impossible for me to catch you at this point. I need like a couple of good weeks now. And I need you to poop the bed. Now I'm in. Chuck's ahead of me now.
Really?
Or are we tied? I think we're tied. Yeah, we're actually tied. And Dad's caught up to the pack now.
Really?
Yeah. He's only 2 behind us. But you're 11 ahead of us.
I am?
Yeah, you've got 95.
I'm having a hell of a year.
That you are.
Uh-huh.
Is there more? Is there more rolls? Can I have more?
Makes it great.
Will you get me more? Love you.
I
do too.
What is that one on your face?
Gives new meaning to the term. Pick a blanket.
We have to get it wrapped up like this. A lot of times people don't just dump a body and leave it out in the open. They will wrap it. So this represents.
This girl Newman's dating, Stacy?
Yeah. She's a pain in the ass.
No. She's very nice. She doesn't photograph well. Because when I saw her, I thought she was cute. I just don't think she photographs well. Yeah, well, that's just not a good picture of her, but.
Megan! Put it down.
Die. Eat. Probably 24 hours later, start to stiffen up. I'm going to say this pig is 2 weeks old.
Okay, got that. 2 weeks old.
2 weeks old. That was a stupid guess, but it's not even close.
That's in 2 weeks. An educated guess.
Okay.
We're going to take you back to the lab.
Love you.
All right, good.
Maybe. Keep your form. Do you want the honors of unwrapping it?
It's not an honor I want.
Daddy,
are you done? Are you done, Daddy? No. She's got an iPod Touch for Hanukkah.
Hmm? What?
Stacy got John an iPod Touch for Hanukkah.
Oh, he's a Jew.
Newman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mom?
What?
Why is he Newman? Mom?
What?
Why is he Newman? Mom?
What?
Why is he Newman?
Make her stop, please.
Newman. Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Eat your dinner.
Real life. Poke the pig?
Well, we gotta see what's in there. But first, we're gonna collect the
see a little easier. Okay, Miles, you force us again. We got a whole bunch in there.
Let's go hog wild.
So, once again, we collect the maggots. And once again, I almost lost my lunch.
Can't tell if it's indigestion or something else.
I lost my blood.
Not what we want to do. Because we want to look at the pigs. Because there are different species that like the more gunky stuff.
Yeah.
So what you're going to do is sort of spread its legs apart and see what's going on.
Sure.
And if you
sit down and eat that.
Sure, that could explode.
Yeah.
Did I explode the corpses before?
No, but there's a
percent for everything. So, what am I learning by doing
this? Well, what we want to do is we want to see what's up underneath the
skin. That's
what
we want to see. Yeah. You want to roll the pig with the stick?
That's not a pig.
I know.
That was close.
That was close.
That's not
me. I've spread his legs.
Yes, you have. That smells a little bit. See, you can see a lot of his insides really nicely there. But I'm not seeing any maggots. So I guess that's either fortunate or unfortunate for you.
Yeah, I'm looking for the upside.
The absence of some insects is important for us.
Mom, what? Give it to Daddy.
They're not really feeding.
What are they doing?
They're looking for mates.
They're mating? It just seems like an odd time to pause for sex.
Well, real close, females have their eyes spread apart and males have their eyes touching. We'll show you that later.
Yeah, but I'm not going to get close enough to see the fly's eye. At this point.
I really got
to
keep them fast.
Yeah, they're all attracted here because that's where they find me.
Everything is just, I think, I get it on my eye. A little bit.
That's gross.
That is the dog.
Hope it's a game and a battery.
That's
gross.
No.
Oh,
it's a battery.
I'll get the battery.
Watch out for Daddy's plate. I'm sure.
Well, okay.
What?
I was going to say, you give her a drink, she takes her bath with her paint, soap, or she goes to
town. Oh. Daddy brings up a good point.
Megan, come here.
Watch out for Daddy's plate.
Okay. Now listen to me very carefully. Okay? You have to take a bath tonight. Okay? And do you want to play with your finger paint soap in the bathtub?
Yeah.
Well, what would you rather do? Would you rather play with your finger paint soap in the bathtub? Or play your game. Because if you play your game, then you have to take a bath, but you have to wait to use your finger paint soaps.
Play my game, and then take a bath, and then wait for my finger paint soap.
Okay. You heard her say it.
I need that screwdriver.
Oh, I forgot.
Careful of the plate. Got it.
Thank you.
That's what happens if you touch the side, okay?
Okay.
Holy monkeys, this is cool.
I want to put one in.
No, honey. Honey, I said no. Let me tell you where that goes. That goes right there. No, let me see.
No.
Okay.
Oh wow, is that cool?
What?
This new Google Earth.
Water underneath. Very good. Bobbing the throat. I got it. No. Yes. Okay. Now listen. Get out the directions. Okay. When I turn it on, it's going to make a noise. Listen. The noise that it makes is the piece you got to pull out. Okay? I'll help you. Okay? Now when you're trying to pick it up with this, you can't touch the sides because it'll beep on you. Okay? Okay, that's ringing in the ears. Right here.
You still have to pick cards?
No.
Take a... Oh.
Here. Next, you have to pick this one.
What to take out.
Look.
The runny nose, this one. Don't touch his eyes. Oh, look at you! Push his nose. Ah. That's water on the knee.
My God.
What?
Come here for a second.
Honey.
Well, okay.
Oh, you've never seen that before?
No. But that's when we lived there.
Yeah.
That's Megan's pool, and those were our Christmas decorations.
Yeah. I think we only have one or two more left. Okay, take it off. like your game?
No, because we gotta go to bed, honey. It's getting early.
Who won?
Megan did.
Yay.
Oh, we'll play again tomorrow, okay? Don't be sad.
Do you like your game, Megan?
It's cool, isn't it?
Can I close it?
Yeah, it's a little bit. I have to take the rubber bands out of your hair. Honey, just leave it alone. I have.
Yeah,
very nice. Do you
want
to give her
that? Ugly book. Mom. What?
Come here, my answer is a little bit
better.
No, honey, let mommy do it. Do you want mommy to do your hair like this in the morning?
Yeah.
It looks really cute.
Oh. Mom.
Can I finish what I'm doing?
And then we'll run. Excuse me.
And then,
I could.
And then we'll run you a bath?
No.
Why?
Because I want you to do it now. You get your butt up.
You want some peanut butter? Need a bone?
Mom, can I put the peanut butter?
No. Mommy do it.
Wait, all the bones.
Where's the bone?
I think it's in the back. I'll go get it.
Where's the bone? Gabby, where's the bone? Where's your bone? Where's your bone, Abby?
This year.
Abby, where's the bone? Where's your bone?
What is...
Where's your bone?
Where did I
found? I think it's... Oh, I know where it is. Right in front of her crate.
Megan, look in front of Abby's crate. Oh. Her house.
I hit my head.
Are you okay?
Yeah. Nope, I own a tea
stand.
Oh, I found it!
Can I have it, please?
Found it.
Really, do you have to do that on me?
Wait, I'm going to hold
it. Give it here. Oh, you cleaned it out pretty good.
Would you like some peanut butter? This is a real bone.
It certainly seems like it.
Dad, now get your butt up. Get your butt up.
Don't talk to your father like that.
Nah. Nah. Daddy, can you get your up? What? What? What was so funny, Mom?
Hey, Abby.
What does he do?
Being silly. I got this.
You got what?
Before you go to the room,
Please stop. Leah, stop having so much fun in front of the TV because I'm watching TV. That's it.
A Christmas tree. I want that.
That's it. Get away.
It seems very difficult. I don't know if my 2 week guess on the first thing is accurate, and this one being wrapped up in swaddling clothes and, you know, flying in the field, you know, it could probably generate a higher level of heat, and it's that heat that can cause this internal look. I'm going to say 1 week. All right.
1 week. 2 weeks on Chester.
1 week here. Sure, we tasted maggots on the show before, but never flying maggots. So I thought I'd give Barsky that 1 in a million shot. Yeah.
Megan, Mommy already told you to stop twice, which is once more than she should have to tell you. Bounce that ball again, and I will pop it. You understand?
Dad, look at Abby.
What's she doing?
She's looking the peanut butter through the ball. She's looking the peanut butter and then the boom.
And you
can just set them down.
I don't want to unfold that thing.